You are listening to Go Dock Yourself, your weekly documentary book club. Listen in while we two errands dissect our most recent documentary find. Sometimes weird, sometimes mainstream, but always entertaining. Grab a cup of coffee and let's clatch.
Hi, and welcome to Go Dock Yourself. I'm Erin McCart.
And I'm Erin McCart. Hello. Hello to everybody on this lovely spring day. Hopefully it's lovely where you are. It's lovely here. I'm getting used to time change now, a couple weeks in. Just in time to change back.
Just one. Yeah. One whole week is under our belt.
Yeah. We're getting there. And we're recording this on St. Patrick's Day. So Erin Gabra, everyone.
Yeah. Watch those pub crawls tonight, kids.
Yeah. And watch people on the pub crawls. That's the more entertaining portion.
Yeah. And wear some green so you don't get pinched, because it is middle school after all.
I think, thankfully, HR would frown upon that. So if you're working and someone does that, you can definitely turn them in.
I like to think that this is, that's not true. I was going to say it. Maybe they would make an exception, but somebody's going to ruin that for the class. So, yeah.
Don't worry. I have my Tits McGee shirt on the way. I'll wear that to work, and I'm sure it will go over superbly.
Right. As long as it's green.
Oh, it is great. Of course. Of course. Okay. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I say that, because we once worked with a man, like an established man of some report, who wore an entire leprechaun outfit, like beard and all, to work.
I mean, keeping it classy. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was shocking. It was shocking. The cartoonish nature.
Yeah.
Of such like a kind of a straight laced person wearing that always caught me off guard. This is multiple years I saw it. So
that is interesting. I never saw it.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Well, I'll tell you later. Okay. I'll tell you off air. Okay. Yeah.
Well, this week we have a really fun documentary, guys. I forgot how funny this was, and it could be because of my own history and experience with psychedelics, but what we're talking about this week is called Have a Good Trip, Adventures in Psychedelics. This is a Netflix documentary. It was done in 2020. It's an hour and 25 minutes long and directed by Donette Carey, and has every single person you've ever thought about in your life in it, pretty much.
Right. Famous people from Hollywood, some authors, that kind of thing.
Musicians.
Yeah. Let me also say to you, if I wrote psychedelics one way, I wrote psychedelics 12 different ways. Like, almost to the point where I'm like, am I on psychedelics, psychedelics? I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully, I type up my notes, and so it corrected me every time, or it just gave me a squiggle and I just moved on. I have like 500 red squiggles on here and I just move on, because no one's going to see these notes but me, and no one cares but me. And even I don't care. And I can sound it out.
Yeah. I know what I wrote, but it's just funny because I'm like, this is not good. So, of course, I think everyone is familiar with the LSD warning videos. And these are old school, right? This looks like something from the 60s. It's sort of a military base, like a Navy guy is telling you the evils of LSD and all those kinds of hallucinogens and psychedelics. And then he goes in and he's like, look, we've done a lot of experiments. They affect all kinds of animals. And I'm like, oh, why are we giving psychedelics to animals? However, in this blurb, I found out that LSD kills elephants. It affects spiders and causes instant insanity. And Ronald Reagan is against the fools who do it. So,
I mean,
whatever kind of ringing endorsement you need.
Yeah.
That's the one
I ever needed a reason not to drugs. My thought with when he said it killed the elephant was, did it kill the elephant, or did the elephant act weird and you were scared and you killed the elephant? It's the more likely scenario, right? Or how much did you give an elephant?
How do you make sure a spider took the LSD?
And how are you dosing appropriately?
I don't know. But I think it's really funny that they're talking about I'm like, did someone on LSD conduct this experiment?
Well, okay, but let's think of it like getting the shark drunk scenario. Did they like coat a fly in LSD and then the spider ate it?
Okay. All right, I will give you that. But if that's the case, doesn't the spider like suck the juice out of the fly? And so the outside would be intact and it would not eat. It would not be exposed to it. Maybe at the point where it cuts the fly open with a little knife. That's the motion.
And the fork.
That I'm making.
And the straw.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm a terrible biologist that I'm like, wait, how do spiders eat flies? I'm sure that they suck the stuff out of them, but.
And I am not a biologist at all, so I have no idea.
But my favorite was like my little knife that he, in my hand.
Yeah, that everyone can see. Yeah.
Yeah, fucking the worst.
Let's just end that blurb with saying, don't give drugs to animals or anybody unwillingly. But I want you to know that the prevailing theories growing up that we saw were one bad trip and you're insane forever. You could easily just never come back from it. And the other was, I think, if you tripped 8 times on LSD, you were legally insane. I don't know where that came from, but I remember there was a specific number and it's a pretty low number and you were considered legally insane.
Right. And that's the messaging,
evidently
starting from these terrible videos that, and we talked about that when we did the mushroom documentary.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of recurring themes between these two. Obviously, you're talking about psilocybin and that kind of thing. But yeah, these educational videos really oversell the danger of drugs as far as what they're marketed as, like weed, right? LSD. They'll just cause you to, you'll be hallucinating on both, which you told me last time is not the thing. But then you jump out the window.
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone's seen Reefer Madness, that weed will cause you to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And others. I'm not sure. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but it's a violent drug in that movie.
And that's what Nick Offerman tells us. So he's a little bit of a narrator in this. There are a few different, almost like a Bill Nye experimental part of the documentary. But this is Nick Offerman as if he were playing Jack Black. There's a real Jack Black vibe going on. He looks like very shaggy and it's very fun to me.
Nick Offerman playing Jack Black, who's playing a scientist?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
So cute. So anyway.
I like how he comes and goes. He'll give some information throughout.
Mm-hmm.
But the blurb at the beginning is drugs can be dangerous, which they can be, but they can also be hilarious. Absolutely agree. So throughout this, we talked to several celebrities and their experiences with hallucinogens. And some are quick and some are more in-depth stories. Of course, Deepak Chopra is in here. And, you know, he's saying a lot of words and they mean stuff, but it's considering the rest of the presentation of this documentary, he was just way above everybody in the brain side of it. There are words for it, but clearly I've used them all trying to think about what Deepak Chopra was trying to say.
My biggest takeaway from what he said was reality is a projection of consciousness. Mm-hmm. A bee has a different reality than a fly, than a bat, than a human. All of us see reality differently. So when you talk about altering your perceptions of reality, which is what the hallucinogens do, who's to say what the starting point was? And like, it's just interesting to kind of think about that philosophical point, right? What is time, Aaron? What is time? That's what I got out of that.
Time is on my side, if that's what I learned from the stone. So.
Yes, it is. Good job. Okay.
Thank you. I will say my least favorite person in this, at least talking about their experiences, you know who I'm going to say, right? Sting. Sting, why do you have to be so pretentious? Just calm down.
Yeah, because he's walking around on this farm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he will say things like he's had both good trips and bad trips, and his bad trips, at least what he described here, is among the worst. But he's talking about walking around in his farm, and I was like, oh, that's nice. I can get behind that. And then you kind of get the sense that he's got people running the farm for him, and somebody asks him for help, and he's just too high to be of use. And I was like, is it the highness that makes you not of use, or are you just not of use at all? So it does crack me up that he's saying that the grass is talking to him, and Mm-hmm. He needs to go help birth a calf. And I can't imagine just how that was. He said the cow was crying because she was in pain. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. I mean, not that she was in pain, but, you know, he was emotional about the cow, you know, mm-hmm. having a hard time giving birth. But, yeah.
I can't imagine, because I've seen cows being birthed. They use chains to pull the calves out sometimes. And it seems like a very violent right. event. And he was on peyote. So this wasn't just like a little psilocybin type of trip. He was on peyote, which is balls to the wall. And then you have to help a calf be born. So both the calf and the mother don't die. He's like, I faced my own mortality. And I could understand these things. That's fine. It seems horrendous to have to do that when you're tripping balls. But I think my issue with him is he takes a very educational view of drugs. And Lewis agrees. A very educational view on drugs, to the extent that he's like, listen, you have to have intention going into it. And then you'll come out of it and you'll have gained something. You'll learn something. You'll be a better human. And he fucking vomits all the shit. And if your intention is just to get fucked up, then you'll just get fucked up. And the way he said it in such a condescending manner, like, God forbid anyone take drugs to just escape reality for a little bit and enjoy their fucking life. No, you have to grow mm-hmm. from it. You have to become better from it. And I thought, fuck off, Sting. Just
yeah,
fuck off.
Not everybody can throw their money about and sit and like write a 5-paragraph paper about their intentions before they decide to take their drugs and like have it reviewed and stuff. But yeah, it was very condescending. But I have to talk about the thing that he went to. Where the fuck did he go?
Mexico for the ayahuasca.
Yes. And they started off and they just kept shoving stuff in his mouth. And like, I think he knew this was like probably a very dangerous level, like just a ton.
Yeah.
And then he's like, the cactuses were talking to me. Like, I just can't imagine things talking to you like that. And that makes me kind of want to do it. But then I also know that I have very high anxiety and it probably wouldn't go well. So mm-hmm. I don't know how my paper would go if I, you know, would they match my intentions? I don't know. But then he said they had to climb up a mountain and they had like blood on them and they were watching the comet go over. And I was just like, oh my God, that just doesn't sound very fun.
Yeah. None of that sounds like a good experience. Like they blindfolded him to walk up the mountain and then he's on the mountain and then he feels like moisture. He's like, oh, they're giving me a shower because he's gross and dirty from walking up in that heat of the day. And it was blood. It was deer's blood. And you're right. It was the time of Halley's Comet. And I'm like, what is the point of all this? I have to know the purpose and the point, because to me, it just seems like hazing. Right?
We paid a lot for it and they were just fucking with him.
Fucking tourists.
Right, exactly.
It only tastes good if you put it in cow shit. Eat it. Eat it.
That's all part of the experience.
That's right.
Ugh, you just can't brush your teeth enough after that. I don't know.
Yeah. So he was the only one in here that was just very sobering about it, for lack of a better term. That seems like a contradictory term, but he was just very meh.
Well, I think too, Sting's got a weird rep for like the tantric shit and whatever. Like, can you just be normal? Like, Fields of Gold is a great song. It's maybe my favorite Sting song, but I don't know you can pull this off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a huge Police fan or a Sting fan. It's fine if it's on the radio, I'll sing along, but I probably will change mm-hmm. the channel.
Mm-hmm. All right. So next we talk to Sarah Silverman. Hers is a lot more fun.
Hers which made me think of me and the shit that I did when I was a kid. Because the first thing she says is, someone just handed the drugs to me and I put it in my mouth. I didn't even think about it. Yep, I've done that.
Right. And she's a, you know, up and coming comic at the time. They're in some diner somewhere in, you know, the middle of the night after everybody does their sets. Some weird ass old hippie man walks up and they just take whatever sticker, whatever the fuck, out of his hand directly into the gullet. So,
yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. And she's like, it was about 45 minutes later that they're like, did we take acid? What do we take? Because we don't feel anything. And she said the most true statement ever. The minute you say, I don't feel anything, is the minute it kicks in. And you're like, oh, there it is. That's kind of like the people who say, I didn't feel anything, so I took more. And within like 5 minutes, you're like, oh, shit. Shouldn't have done
that. That's like everybody in here, though.
Yeah. It does take a really long time to get into your system. And most people are like an hour, hour and a half later, they're like, well, this is nothing. And they just move on with life. And then it hits them at the worst possible time.
Right.
Yeah.
So then she says another of among my favorite lines. She said they were drinking hot chocolate and it started talking to her and it's too alive to drink. It's fucking adorable. So they find a group of people. Mm-hmm. As you do, a bunch of strangers. They're hanging out in the park. Again, it's still nighttime.
And this is New York City, so who knows what kind of people you find in New York City.
Right. And then at some point, they decide it's time to peel out. And so they get in her friend's car, and her friend is driving. And this is when the first of the big rules comes about, when they say you don't drive.
Yeah, so because her friend pulls out of the parking spot. They get to the stoplight. And the light is red, and then it turns green, and it turns yellow, and then it turns red, and then it turns green. And you go through a couple cycles, and he realized he didn't know how to drive. He completely forgotten how to drive. He didn't know anything about it. How did he even get to this point? What is he doing in a car? And it just spirals from there. Yes. And I've never felt like that. I have had interesting experiences driving while on acid, which you should not do, kids. You should not. Don't do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time it was the middle of the night, because it's always the middle of the night, right? You take it and it lasts for like 8 hours. So of course it's the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving and it was like a snowstorm. And so I was driving pretty slow because it's a snowstorm, right? But it's the night and my headlights hit the snowflakes and I felt like I was going warp speed, you know, because the snow was just coming at me. And it was like, shit. It was just like the most intense driving experience ever. And it probably took me an hour to make it around the block, but it felt like I had made it like to another state. It was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the next part to get into is Adam Scott is doing the bad trip after school special part of this. And he's walking around a playground in like a leather jacket. And the delivery is just chef's kiss. I mean,
it's so good.
So funny. So his whole spiel is, again, a take off these old after school specials where when I watched them, I learned a few things. You try drugs once, straight to stripping, you die in the gutter.
Yes.
And that happens in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's absolutely, it's a gateway drug, right? Like that's what we learned. So of course, he's a little bit of a host for a made-up show about a girl named Emily and her bad trip. So, yeah, good stuff with Emily.
Yeah. So Emily gets invited to a party where there'll be hard drugs. And I love how they advertise that as, listen, you should come. There'll be hard drugs. Not soft drugs, only the hard ones.
And she's hanging around with a group of friends and they're talking about like their planned night with parental supervision, right? Like that is also.
Parents get a bad rap, but they're pretty cool.
Exactly. So lame.
But they go to the party and so there are four of them that go to this party. Like there's obviously other people at the party and the host who has the hard drugs comes out with a baggie, like a gallon sized bag. Full of all the drugs, uppers, downers, acid, shrooms. It's all mixed together in there. Just go in and get a handful and have a good time as right. You do.
Storage conditions be damned.
Right. It's all mixed
longevity
together.
Of the product. We are not worried about that at this point. Yeah.
Right. And I love the fact that in these after-school specials, like even in real after-school specials and these, drugs were just given out willy-nilly. They were just handed out. They were forced upon people without their knowledge. I don't know if you've met anyone that has drugs, but they rarely just hand it out because, well, it costs money. And there, this cat must have been a dealer to have a whole gallon-sized bag full of hard drugs.
Yes. There's no discussion of recompense here. Like, they are not worried about it.
Right. Right.
No. I'm sorry. I did that to you. Wasn't intentional that you were, I said it while you were taking a drink. We'll never know. I almost got a spit take. It was great.
But yeah, so two of the friends reach in. Okay, one friend reaches in and grabs a handful of drugs, just mixture of drugs. You're just mixing them all together, which is apparently the best way to take the drugs. Emily's a little smarter. She's just going to take one. It sounds like, I don't know, fluffy butterflies or whatever name it was.
Orange Dream or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded good. So she takes one. The two friends that didn't, they're like, well, that's bad news, guys. You shouldn't do that. You know, poo-pooing on their party.
Think of your future.
Yeah. You'll never come down.
Right.
And then, you know, they were having a good time. But do you know what's fun, Erin?
Flying.
Flying. Jumping out a window and flying. Mm-hmm. So Emily does. She jumps out a window.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the two squares, if you will, are drinking juice, orange soda of some sort. They're really into it. It's amazing juice. Well, that crazy cat that invited them had spiked their drinks without their knowledge. And then they too flew out the window. Is that where it ended?
It is not. It is not. I think it's interesting to think of the time frame because the window that they jumped out and the window that Emily jumped out looked the same.
Mm-hmm.
However, they both broke the glass. So
something to take note of, directors.
Yeah.
And they all survived. They all survived.
Well, Emily came back in to witness her friends drinking the juice. Mm-hmm. So again, the severity of the jumping out the window onto a trampoline, like what, a mattress was there and she just like scuttled back in. It's unclear.
Listen, maybe they really could fly. Maybe they just didn't want to show that part because it's really endorsing the drugs.
That's right. If they knew you could fly on drugs, everybody would be doing it.
Everyone would be doing it. That's the only thing keeping me from doing it, honestly. But then they get in a car to drive. And I think we've already said, don't drive on acid. Mm. And they get in the car to drive. And they drive off a cliff and die in a fire explosion.
Like Thelma and Louise style.
Yes, without Brad Pitt involved. He's really pretty. It makes it worthwhile. Mm. So
100%.
Drugs are bad, okay? I think that's what we learned from this. Drugs are bad.
But Adam Scott in the role of the host does nothing but make me laugh the whole time. There's a part where he's on a skateboard. There's a part where he's sitting on the swings. The level of condescension is exactly what this whole thing has called for.
Mm-hmm.
And him being like, hey man, everybody's doing it. I mean, it is so good.
It might be my favorite part of the entire documentary. You're right. You're right.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So we talked to Steve Agee. I don't know this guy. The comedian.
Sure.
And my favorite part about him is he's talking about the on-screen portrayal of people getting high really involves two things. It's a fisheye lens and some lighting effects, right? And then they do some weird shit with your voice. Like normally they drop it down real low and kind of make it like really slow. And it is so funny to think about that and then hear people being like, that's not even fucking right. Like it's so far from that.
Yeah.
But the straights like me, the squares don't understand. And I'm like, oh, I mean, like, I like some pretty colors, but I don't like my voice to sound like that. So I'm not going to be able to do this.
Yeah. That's exactly why you shouldn't do it. Mm. Well, he made a good point. He said Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas got it pretty close.
Oh, okay.
There's a point where Johnny Depp as Hunter S. Thompson, I believe, was like looking at the carpet. If you've ever been to Vegas, the carpet is just something to behold.
So busy.
Yes. And the patterns on the carpet were like moving and doing, you know, just kind of distorted. And that is much more realistic. I've done a lot of acid. I've done a lot of shrooms many, many, many years ago. I'm a square now. But as a teenager in that, and I can tell you I've never seen anything that wasn't there. It's always distortions of what's already there.
Mm-hmm.
So not that that's any less terrifying at times, I'm sure. I never had a bad trip. Mm-hmm. I'm very lucky on that front. But yeah, that's much more realistic just to see a little movement, a little, like the grass talking to you was more, less, you don't see faces, but you'd see it moving in a specific way. And you'd probably hear something different. And so it's perceived as mm-hmm. such, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned Hunter S. Thompson, which leads us into a talk with Anthony Bourdain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to see him now, right? He seems so great. And I really liked his show mm-hmm. and all of that. And then, you know, he took his own life. It's probably been a few years at this point.
Yes, yeah.
So this is more of a celebratory, like he seems happy to be talking about this and that it's fun to see him in that light. But as a kid, he really idolized. He thought of Hunter S. Thompson as a hero. And so they kind of wanted to emulate some of the things that he did. And so he talks about road trip mm-hmm. that he and a buddy went on. And holy shit, that is wild.
It is wild. They talk about, so they planned it with their parents. Like he was staying at his friend's house. His friend was staying at his house, as we all do as teenagers.
100%.
But I can tell you, he never had a suitcase of drugs. They had like, LSD, weed, hash, beer, gin, Quaaludes. Those aren't even a thing anymore. They don't even exist. So it's so much. If you do that much, I don't know that you're high. You're just numb. Right?
Right. Oof. Yeah. They were really prepared though. I don't know what they thought they were going to get into. Like, cause usually I'm going to stay overnight with this guy. He's going to stay overnight. That's not like a week or 2 week long situation. The jig's going to be up. You got maybe a night if you're lucky.
Maybe it was a weekend thing. We're going for a weekend. Okay, maybe.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they take a lot of the drugs, including the LSD, and they mm-hmm. go on a drive, Catskills, and they encounter two incredibly hot hitchhikers. They are exotic dancers. Of course they are exotic dancers on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Hitchhiking.
Yeah. And they make a very pronounced thing to say. One's name is Panama.
Yeah. And she said it in such an exotic way as well.
Can I take a moment and talk to you a little bit about the reenactments in this? Mm-hmm. It's like drunk history.
It is.
They have other famous people doing these reenactments, and it is the best. So I thoroughly enjoyed watching this.
It is very much like drunk history. You're right. It's hilarious. It's exaggerated. And so they have people reenacting this, right? So they go to Panama's hotel room and they uh-huh. continue to do drugs. They give her a Quaalude. She's like, no, I would like more Quaaludes. And so they give her more and mm-hmm. she's dancing. She's having a good time. And then she literally drops dead and they're freaking out, right? And so mm-hmm. their trip went from super fun, colorful enjoyment to terror, because what are you going to do? And I love how he's like, my parents think I'm staying at your house. Like that was, how can we tell that we weren't at each other's house? And they're freaking out. And then all of a sudden she gets up and she's fine. Continues with life.
And he mentions at the beginning of the story, he was like, every time I did acid, like the worst possible thing happened mm-hmm. at the worst possible time. And I am unprepared. And he said that she just falls down dead. And I was like, well, shit, I guess. Like how you ever, like that was he was young when that started and then he went back.
Yeah.
So I was very happy to see that she rallied.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, damn. Yeah.
It's a very Pulp Fiction kind of moment, right? I mean.
So much.
Yeah. Yeah. They get up, they continue to drink and do coke. And I'm like, after that, you continued? That wasn't enough. That would have sobered me up so fucking fast. I don't even care what I was on. I would have been like, and I'm done. Going home.
Yeah. That's why it's best left to the youths. I don't know.
Yes.
Fucking terrifying.
Oh my God. Yeah. So this is where we get to rule number two. Mm. They talk about looking in the mirror. So there are some people that talk about their entire trip. They just sat and looked in the mirror and they could see the entire world inside of their skin. And their skin could barely contain it type of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have like people like Sarah Silverman, like cover all the fucking mirrors. I don't care how beautiful you are. When you look in that mirror on acid, it's not going to be a good thing. So cover all the mirrors. So it's funny to see the dichotomy, right? You have two polar opposite opinions. my opinion is much aligned with Sarah. Her and I are the same person. I don't know if she knows that, but we are.
Right.
Do not look in the mirror. And also don't ever do your makeup with your own acid. Because I did that once. It was not good. And I kind of wish there were pictures from it. I'm kind of glad there aren't.
I so wish there were pictures of it.
It was so fucking bad. Because you sober up eventually and you're like, oh shit, I went out in public like this. And oh my God, so bad. I went to the mall even. It wasn't even like, oh Jesus. Anyway.
So you broke several rules there. You looked in a mirror. You drove because you had to go pick somebody up. Wasn't that the story? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You got a desperate phone call and you're like, well, thanks for calling me into action. I guess I'll have to roll out.
Yeah, pull myself together.
Because I'm a lady.
Sure looked like a lady. It was so bad. But yeah, so that's really a varying opinions on whether you should look in the mirror or not. I stick with don't look in the mirror. It's not a good idea.
Yeah. Well, somebody said, if you have any self-esteem stuff, the mirror draws on it, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're just going to have the biggest nose or like no chin or whatever your particular, you know, sensitivities are, they're going to be exaggerated when you're looking in the mirror on acid. So,
yeah. And you have to think your pupils are super dilated. So you're taking a lot more light and you're just, mm-hmm. it's just overwhelming.
Right. So we talked to Dr. Grob. I don't know.
Grob.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
No.
He's our expert.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in some science on us. Dr. Grob has been doing psilocybin studies on advanced cancer patients with the blessing of the FDA. And he's talking about, you know, these are folks with really high anxiety, you know, facing death oftentimes. And there have been a lot of really good potential results. A good scientist isn't saying one way or the other, but he's saying like the things that we have found are that these treatments are bringing people some relief from, you know, their depression, their high anxiety. Again, that's very similar to what we heard when we did the mushroom documentary on Netflix. So please, if you enjoyed this one, also go and watch that because it's delightful. And, you know, he talks about when they are working with people and they're going to do a treatment on a person, the setting really is key. So they're really working to make sure that it's comfortable and you've got support there and you're not just, you know, out with a bunch of miscreants. I don't know. So it's a very controlled environment to try to help people manage good trips versus bad trips. So.
Right. And everything I've read therapy wise, that's kind of how it goes it's a very controlled environment and the dosing is controlled and mm-hmm. yeah, therapy isn't controlled. I mean, it's not like what we did as kids. I say me, you didn't do this. You were a good kid.
No, mom, I did not.
My mom knows it's fine. I like how he also talks about just in general, if you are out with miscreants, a way to minimize bad trips. Because bad trips mm-hmm. seem to be really bad. And I'm very lucky that I have never had one. But control the setting. Many people say, don't take strangers with assholes. Don't take strangers with assholes. That's not what they said at all.
I mean, I prefer my strangers without assholes. So.
Don't take acid with strangers or assholes. That's what they said, which I absolutely agree.
Agreed.
If you have a lot of anxiety or sadness, make sure you are in a controlled setting with, supervision of a therapist, because otherwise it might just perpetuate that and exacerbate that feeling.
Sure.
What else did the good doctor say? Let's see. He did talk about the shame of, you know, I think they actually gave a date. It was like October 1963 when it became illegal. LSD became illegal. And so that's when mm-hmm. they were unable to continue therapies. And so there was a lot of work going on with using psychedelics as a form of therapy for mental illness. And all of it stopped. Again, we discussed this in the other documentary. All of it mm-hmm. stopped. And then they're just now starting to restart some of that therapy. And so it's unfortunate that we lost, you know, 40, 50 years where we could have been working and become healthier.
And let's revisit real quick again. why that reason seemed to present itself. It did not necessarily get covered in this, but what I remember was a treatment or two on this changes your brain chemistry enough to be lasting. That's not great if you produce a antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medication, and you can market that to people who need it daily. So that was one of my bigger takeaways. And yeah, I think that they didn't like the fact that people were doing, you know, it was a bit of a rebellion. So.
Right. And they can hide behind the fact that it has become an illicit drug. And so, oh, people sure. will use it inappropriately. Therefore, we can't use it for anything. And so once you make it a class one schedule drug, you can't do anything with it. And they were able to be like, for the good of humanity or whatever fucking blurb they said to justify mm-hmm. doing that. But we're starting to come back around, which is good.
Yeah. Because mind you, there have been cultures around the world that have been using this forever. Indigenous cultures. Mm-hmm. So funny how we keep coming back to that. Like, oh, they did know what they're doing. We're the fucking worst. Anyway.
We ruin every
diatribe aside.
This is where we talk to Carrie Fisher. Again, very difficult to see our lovely princess.
I know.
General. I guess she graduated mm-hmm. to general later. And I love that she talked about the ritual of doing it. She said she had outfits to do it. She had makeup. She had music to set the mood and set the scene and make sure everything was where it needed to be. And I love that.
I did too.
And her house is a product of all those years of acid too. And you, it looks like it. It looks like it. I loved every minute of it.
I did too. It's eclectic and fun and mm-hmm. not sterile. Like a lot of things. People who have some money have decorators come in and it's very like modern and whatever. And hers was very warm. And it's like, mm-hmm. I would love to go and have a sandwich there. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she started doing acid well before she had a problem with drugs. Because mm-hmm. it's well known that she struggled with
opioids,
cocaine, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she started doing it. And she talked about traveling specifically to do it. Again, things that I always thought about when I was younger, like here's where it would be super fun to do this.
But you're young and you have all the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the trips she talks about is she went to the Seychelles and mm-hmm. she was on a beach and she's like, I don't think I was new, but I was at least topless. And she's like, I have this, you know, video recorder and I'm making movies and we're tripping. It's amazing. The water. And then I turn around and there's a whole bus of fucking Japanese tourists because this is where they brought all the tourists for lunch. And here's Princess Leia in the height of her fame with Star Wars, topless, tripping balls on a beach.
Oh my God. I laugh so hard.
But she also talks about that later when she found out she was bipolar and she was talking to her doctor and she said, but for some reason, I don't feel this way. I feel normal when I'm on acid. And mm-hmm. I like that our good doctor, Chuck, had said that it could be because she felt somewhat disconnected from herself as a public figure. And by doing acid, she could actually connect with herself better again and just kind of learn that. And I'm like, ah, I really like that idea. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it's a really good theory. So I'll go with it.
Right. She also tells a hilarious story about being in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And the crux of that is there was a misbehaving acorn
mm-hmm.
that she laid down. And she said the reason she was laying down was she was holding on to the grass to keep from falling off into space.
Yeah.
As you do. And I think the best part was, you know, she noticed the acorn, I would assume became a bigger focal point for her. And then it started to talk to her and then it auditioned for her, which is the fucking best. Cause she knows a showbiz person that's gotta be just
yep.
everywhere you go. People are like handing you a script or like, mm-hmm. here's my, you know, headshot or whatever. And then he's like, oh, you don't like it. And then he just like shrinks back and becomes, you know, a normal acorn. And I'm like, oh, so funny.
And again, it was reenacted. Like they played this out and it was so funny. So there's some that they, as the person's telling the story, they have like cartoons that go along with it, which
mm-hmm.
is almost the best way to describe a trip is using cartoons. But some of mm-hmm. them are acted out. And I just, this documentary just made me so happy. Everything they did. Thank you, Lewis. It was beautiful.
And it's so counter to all of the previous publications about this, right? It's all about the ills and the dangers. And this is more about, you know, you have to go into it with a healthy respect, but there can be some good times as well. So I thought that was really sweet.
Mm-hmm. We talked to Adam Horowitz and Kathleen Hanna, who I love both of them. We've talked about Kathleen Hanna in the past. And I mean, Beastie Boys and Bikini Kill, two amazing fucking bands, right? And then you bring them together. God, they're like the power couple of my dreams.
That's what I'm saying, too.
Like, yeah.
Could you be any cooler?
Mm. I don't think you can get cooler than that, honestly.
I don't think so either.
No. Adam's story made me laugh so fucking hard. He said in the late 80s, he was with three female friends. It was just him and three female friends, and they're driving through Mexico, and they take acid, and a tire blows. And my favorite is like, he's like, none of us knew how to change a tire. And he's like, I don't even know if we looked for a spare tire. I don't even know that we looked at the tire at all. I mean, just, you're just so out of it. You're just like, well, can't solve this problem.
Right.
And they see a white owl fly over above. And they're like, this is a sign. It's a sign. Everything's going to be all right. And then these two vans, black vans full of men, pull up and get out. And, you know, Adam's like, hey, we totally need a tire. Like, we'll take you to get a tire. And he's like, looks back at the girls, like, okay, guys, I might never come back. And they have like a group hug, gets in the van with these strange men. They go up into the mountain. They go to the top. There are other men sitting around a fire. And then he's like, the biggest man you've ever seen in your life comes out with the biggest hammer he's ever seen. He's like, this is it. This is how I die. And this big man opens up the shed or of some sort. And there were just tires. Mm-hmm. And they gave him a tire. And it happened to be a church group. I was on a retreat. So they gave him a tire and took him back. And all was well. And I'm like, how terrifying that would have been. That's okay.
And I'm thinking like, I don't, who was able to say, oh, you have a Camaro? Here's the size tire that you need. Nobody talks about that. They just gave him, you know, some like giant truck tire that happened to work. So obviously the details there, but it just made me laugh because I'm like, he's of no fucking use to be able to be like, whatever, you know, I need the
35R22. Yeah. I'd like to think these men probably looked at the tire because they were not fucked up.
I agree. Like, good Samaritans, this is the best story where they're probably like a lot of eye rolling.
Just fucking Americans. I swear to God.
Right?
People so say much. That probably every day.
Right.
Yeah, it was so funny. I love how they talk about, I don't remember who it was that came on that said that his parents were psychiatrists. And they would come home and tell him horror stories about the kids in the psychiatric unit. Like, this kid did drugs one time, and now all he can do is stick his fist up his ass all the time. That's all he can do. And I'm like,
he's like, right, that's Paul Scheer.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck, dude?
So, of course, this goes along with all the Scared Straight commercials. Like, this is your brain on drugs. And then they put it in the frying pan or whatever. Oh, just.
Yeah.
It was so good. But yeah, I thought that was funny too, that his parents really emphasized that you can't possibly, you know, throw away your whole future like this. So he said it worked for a while. He believed their crazy stories, and then he happened to be in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all know that if you go to Amsterdam, you just have to do drugs. It's just a requirement.
It is, actually. They won't let you leave until you've proven that you have done it.
Right. Where's your receipts? So, and let me say, this is also probably my favorite reenactment. Because Rob Corddry does Adam Scheer, Rob Corddry is playing Paul Scheer in this reenactment. And he has a gap, like you can see it's like painted. It made me laugh so hard. So anyway, they take mushrooms, they go to the Van Gogh Museum, and Paul's like, I'm not feeling anything. And then he just eats all of the mushrooms, like just everything that was given to him at the time. And so they're looking at the Crows in the Cornfield painting. And eventually, of course, it's coming to life and the crows, and he's like looking to try to, and he's like, there, this museum was open. There's like families everywhere, and I'm acting a fool,
yeah,
standing on my head basically, and like just being a complete jackass.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, I would have loved to have been there. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. He's like, yeah, I realized I'm standing like 3 inches away from a painting.
I'm like, how did they let you that close?
Oh, God.
Normally, the famous paintings, they don't do that. But
yeah.
Yeah. I think the parents were like, look, kids, that's obviously an American tourist. Like, don't even worry about it. Like, stay away from the scary like man. Just,
yeah.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. I had to tell you, one of my favorite stories was A$AP Rocky, because...
Oh my God, that was a trip too.
That was hilarious. Like, to watch. So he said that growing up, they looked at acid like it was like PCP and like these hardcore drugs, right? And then yes, you get older and you're like, nah, mushrooms and that are really not that big of a deal. So he did acid for the first time with a chick, an amazingly beautiful chick that gave it to him. And so... they start to have sex as the trip is coming on. Like, he's starting to get into it, and he's describing this and how all the feelings feel. And that when he finished is what I assume.
I wondered the same.
Right. A rainbow shot out of his dick with the sound that I can only say sounds like the picture pages marker. Right.
I was like, what I had is more of a bring, but I so I agree, like, and I think this woman is a fucking gangster, because she, like, he'd never done it before. She shared hers with him while they were gonna, you know, bone. So is that a play by her to be like, am I your best? I think I am.
Well,
so,
you know, what's interesting to me, because I've never done ecstasy. Of all the drugs, I've never done ecstasy. And so I assume that would be very different. But for me, doing like LSD and having sex, your mind is all over the place. You're not even really in this moment. You're like, oh, you're still here? What? I can't even with you. You know what I mean? So I can't imagine. I can't imagine caring about all of this, but it's been a really long time. Maybe I'm misremembering. I'm sure it was amazing. Whoever was with me. Sorry.
Jesus.
I was such a horrible person growing up.
Well, that's why she was experienced, and maybe she was running the show and he just had the ability to just be half, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But like I said, he was very impressed with this young lady. And so I'm like, that was a baller move.
Yeah. Good for her.
I would like to talk about the fact that when he's being interviewed, he's wrapped up in a blanket, like sitting in some kind of porch chair or whatever in front of a teepee.
Mm-hmm. That has a bunch of anarchy signs on it.
Like, where are you? It is, because it looks like, I didn't notice the anarchy signs, but it looks like it's on a deck in a yard, and it's like a sheet. It's not like some kind of authentic teepee. It's just like
no hide involved. Yes.
It's like you guys just had your nephew's birthday party and you were like, come on in, we'll just do the interview now. It was very funny. And then he talks later about, he's an artiste, Aaron. Mm-hmm. He's an artiste. And, you know, doing these hallucinogens is just part of it.
Part of the business.
When you live this life.
Yeah.
And he had a bit of a 60s revival business going on. He likes some 60s rock, and he's talking about the Stones. And he's talking about the Hurdy-Gurdy Man, which is a weird-ass but awesome song. And he's like, who sings that? Donovan? And then who do you know appears next on screen?
Donovan. One That's mellow true. Yellow man himself. Oh, he's the one that said LSD was legal until October of 1966. Yeah, there it is.
He's very invested in it. That's true. So,
yeah. I wonder if, because isn't A$AP Rocky like with Rihanna and like has a couple kids with her?
I don't know. I wish I knew more about him, but he was very fun in this for sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love him. And I think that's it. And I wonder if it was Rihanna, and that's why they're together. He's like, listen, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. Now, I too would follow Rihanna to the ends of the earth, and I haven't had sex with her.
Me too.
So I get it. But that would be interesting to know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even think she need a baller move. She just is a baller.
She
move,
just is so. A baller. Oh my God, I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was going to talk about the fact that pretty much everyone has talked about going to the Grateful Dead and tripping at a Grateful Dead show. Now, I can say I have tripped at a Grateful Dead show, and it is an experience. Like, the shows are meant for that, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The visuals, the music, the going on and on, the twirlers. But yeah, it is all there for your viewing pleasure while you're on drugs. And it is set up very well to cater and take care of people as they go through that process. They were absolutely correct with that. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I like that they had, it's not a mosh pit. It's like a separate spot that you go and you can like do your, you know, hula hoop dancing or whatever you're doing at the Dead show. There you go. But anyway, it just made me laugh because I was like, oh, this is so embraced. It was really cute to hear them talk about that.
It is. I can't even explain to you. Like, when you watch the twirlers and their skirts, it's like they don't have feet. It's like they're floating. And you're like, oh, okay. Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Right? And I just, yeah. And I can say that I've seen Dead & Company with John Mayer as an adult mm-hmm. without any drugs at all. And it was still such an amazing experience. And the atmosphere is still very good. Right? It's mm-hmm. it's not the same. But it's still pretty awesome to go see him.
Yeah. Can we please talk about Ben Stiller? That's among my favorites.
Oh my God. Well. That was the funniest fucking story, I think, maybe of all of them.
Okay. So fucking I'll let you tell it because I'll add some commentation. But
so first of all, he is a producer on this. So I love that.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the producers. But he said, even at the beginning, he's like, I did acid one time and I really maybe didn't have to. Didn't even need to do that. But he starts off by saying they had just seen like Hair, the musical, in which LSD is considered like a religious experience. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen it. I love Hair, the musical. I love the soundtrack and everything about it. It's horrible and amazing all at the same time. And so he takes LSD thinking it's going to be this magical experience, right? Naked people everywhere, dancing, whatever. After an hour and a half, nothing's happening. So he takes another. I think we've already established that's a bad idea. You should not do that.
Yep.
And of course, it immediately kicks in. And he freaks out because it probably hit pretty hard at that point. And then you start, from my experience, because I've had anxiety on drugs before, you start feeling like you don't have control. You're never going to have control again. It's terrifying.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So they start walking and they're walking down a road in like Manhattan where they're where they're blowing up the huge balloons for like the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes.
How terrifying would that be?
They're just like mushed up faces and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know how you survived. Like, I cannot comprehend. So, yeah, he gets back to his place and he calls his parents.
Who are filming an episode of The Love Boat, like somewhere else.
And I don't know what his mom's name is. She's probably an amazing human being, but I'm more familiar with Jerry Stiller, his dad.
His mom is also an amazing actress, yeah.
Yeah. But his dad is featured a little bit more in this because he calls his dad and his dad is like, okay, I once smoked a Pall Mall. And so I understand. And I'm like, that's so cute that his dad is like, I'm going to try to relate to my son because I once had a cigarette.
I was sick for 2 days after that cigarette.
And Ben's like, that's not. It's not what we're doing. But he's like, I want everybody to know that my dad is Jerry Stiller and not
Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, what a great way to say that. So.
But in the end, Jerry Stiller was like, don't worry. It'll all be okay. It'll be fine. Yes. And really, that's what he needed. He just needed that support and someone to say, it's fine. You're going to be okay. It'll end soon. And sometimes you just need to hear that. To kind of bring you back to reality. And I love that his dad was like, you're fine. Calm down.
I'm going to go tape The Love Boat with your mother. See you later.
I'm going to go talk to Julie, the director.
Yeah. Right. So, oh. And that brings us to rule number 4. just hang on, man. I'm like, sweet.
Just hang on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our doctor tells us the same thing. Like, you start to feel like you'll never come out of it. And again, most people who have done drugs at some point in time, there is one time or another that you have felt like, I don't have control and I'm never going to have control again. And that's what's terrifying. I never had that on acid, thankfully, or mushrooms. But even now as an adult, like taking Valium, if it hits me too fast, I'm like, holy shit. And I freak out. So I can understand.
You mean the things that are supposed to help you with anxiety?
The things that are supposed to prevent anxiety give me anxiety. I think it's because I did so many drugs as a kid. My body's like, there's no more fun for you. You cannot enjoy any of this ever again.
We're done with that. So in conclusion, as the documentary wraps up, they go back and they talk to a lot of people. And most people are, you know, their message is, if this is something that you want to try, if this is an experience that you want, please do so. Make sure you're minding, you know, your environment. Be with people that are not total dicks. And they all seem to, whether they were good trips or bad trips, it seemed to have been memorable. And a lot of people talk about it basically having changed their lives in one way or another. Like, at the very least, people got a pretty bitchin' story out of it. But it is kind of fun to see that, you know, it's very not pushy. It's not saying, like, you totally should do it. You know, they're like, if you want to, then try it. If you don't, then that's okay too. Because it, you know, there's some maybe consequences. You got to be careful. So.
Yeah. And there are some other stories. Lewis Black has a fucking hilarious story. And Rosie Perez has a story. I mean, there's just so many good stories in this.
Yeah.
There's old footage of George Harrison. It is such a fucking good documentary. It is so funny. Mm-hmm. It is so endearing.
Mm-hmm.
They just did an amazing job with it. I loved everything about this documentary. It made me laugh so hard.
I agree. It was a super fast watch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's really fun to see kind of the counterculture take on why we shouldn't be necessarily afraid of these things. You know, there's probably a way that we can make it useful for folks now.
So
it's really cool.
Yep.
At the very end, they mentioned the FDA is allowing some controlled studies for treating those folks, you know, who possibly have, you know, some terminal illnesses. There might be outside of that. They didn't specifically mention that in here, but whether it's with mushrooms or psilocybin or separately LSD, there might be some, new information coming. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, I've seen some studies done on PTSD with MDMA. Mm-hmm. And psilocybin seems to be more commonly used than, say, LSD, which is more of a larger hammer to hit a smaller nail. But as long as they have the effect that's desired and they can fix, because they've been shown to rewire your brain in like a couple of sessions and permanently rewire it. Whereas like ketamine is a continuous treatment. And it's don't get me wrong, ketamine is amazing. I have seen it myself almost perform miracles on people who were in such a state that you didn't know if they were going to survive another week or two.
And it's good to have options, right? Yes. Like maybe ketamine doesn't work for you, but maybe psilocybin would, or vice versa. And so I think to have an array of options is probably for the best.
Yeah. So, be responsible with the drugs, guys. I don't condone doing it. I cannot condone doing it. I know I did a lot as a kid, and I sometimes feel lucky to have survived all the stupid shit I did when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
But here we are. So.
Yeah. Who's to say? But anyway, I agree. It's a super fun watch. And if you're curious, you know, you can just at the very least see some of your favorite stars.
Mm-hmm.
Being very candid.
Yeah.
And it's always nice to see people in not a cast role. Like you're maybe getting a little bit better view of who they really are. And that's amazing.
Yeah. Who is your honorary Aaron for the week?
I'm going to go with Rosie Perez. We didn't necessarily talk about her, but if nothing else, her story is among the funniest things. And she says titties in it. So there you go.
Yeah. She does say titties in it. And it cracks me up so much.
Because her accent is like pretty legendary, you know? And she's just adorable. So I really like to see her in this as well.
Yeah, because I feel like we haven't seen her in much in a while. And she's such a good actress. And I just feel like we haven't seen her much. And also, she looks fucking amazing. This was done in, 2020? She looks the exact same as she did in the 90s. So well done, ma'am. Well done with whatever moisturizing routine you've got going. Shit. Or just genetics. That's
true.
Mm-hmm. Mine this week was Sarah Silverman because I love her and I related to her story so much. And I have practically been there. So, and I think I have a little crush on her. So, because she's stunning and funny. She makes me laugh.
She's always the one that says stuff that I'm like, oh, I wasn't sure we were going this way. Like, if you watch her comedy, it's great. She does a really good job. Again, really fun to see a lot of female representation in this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because who's going to lead you to hell faster but a bunch of women? So
let's go.
Yeah.
Get in the fast lane.
So, yeah.
Okay. So with that, what are we doing next week?
Next week, we're doing Bathtubs Over Broadway, which is a Prime, like Amazon Prime. You can find it on there. I think we said rental, so it's probably, I don't know, $3 or $4.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2018 release, and it's 1 hour and 27 minutes.
And you guys, if you read the blurb, it doesn't sound like much, but if you watch the trailer, it's this guy who ends up finding these records of almost like business musicals. Like, they used musicals to sell toilets and bathtubs, or I don't know, TPS reports, or it's hilarious. I cannot wait to watch this. It looks like it'll be so good.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be fun. Like I said, I think we're in a good streak of funny stuff. At least we're enjoying it.
Yeah. That's all that matters.
Laugh like hyenas. It's good.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed this one. I hope you go watch it and go watch Bathtubs Over Broadway for next week. And we'll talk to you then.
All right. Laters.
Bye.